Hi everyone, and welcome to InCred Singapore. There's just a few things that I want to make announcements about. One is that we're having our bi-weekly prayer on Tuesday at 7:30, where we pray for our church and different things in the world, situations in the world, especially the COVID-19 at this moment of time. And it will take place on Zoom, so I encourage you to come and join us. And also want to make a mention that we are starting a new Bible study on Thursday, and it's going to be about on the letter of Philippians at 8 p.m. But today is Mother's Day, so I want to start by saying Happy Mother's Day to all of you mothers. We do so much appreciate you and the work that you do for your families and for your husbands, for your children. And it's amazing, I have to say, when I look at the mothers in this church, at our church in Christ Singapore, every one of them, I see them as strong ladies and how much love you have for your families as well. And to honor you, we want to show a short video. So please enjoy. So happy Mother's Day to all of you mothers. I pray that you will have a blessed Sunday and that you will be spoiled by your families, both your husbands and your children today. But let's pray together. Hallelujah, Father. Father, we worship you and we praise you. We thank you for this morning, God. We thank you, Father God, that you are our God, you are a covenantal partner, and that in everything that we go through, Lord Jesus, you are there for us to lead us and to guide us, God. And Father, today we also just want to bless all mothers out there, God. We pray for every single mother in our church, Lord. We thank you, Father God, also for our own mothers that have raised us up, Lord. And we bless every mother listening right now, God. Father, we just pray that you encourage them. We pray that you strengthen them. We pray, Father God, that you remind them how loved they are, how precious they are in your eyes, and the calling and the purpose that you have for them. And Father, we also just pray as we go into the Word this morning, we pray, Father God, that you reveal your Word to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So today's passage or today's sermon is called Guard Your Heart Above All Else. And we live in a changing world. As we see today, the world is changing all around us. And especially during this time that we live in right now, we do realize and see how so many things around us are changing, evolving, and it's sometimes hard to know exactly what is going to take place in even a week's time or a month's time. But the good news is that even though we live in a changing world, God does not change. And even though we find the challenge of trying sometimes to keep up with what is going on, to be relevant in the industry that we find ourselves in, the good news is that at the end of the day, we have a God that is never changing, but still a God that can guide us through all the changes. And, you know, even though God is never changing, he still wants us to change. He wants to develop our characters. He wants to develop us so that we become stronger in Him. And that every day we become changed and transformed more and more into the image of His Son. And all the time, He may be working with our attitudes. He may be working with our behaviors or some habits that may even have been a part of our life for the longest time. And, you know, I'm sure if Jesus was standing in front of us right now, or if He would stand in front of us one of those times when we are in His presence, we are praying and worshiping, and if He would stand in front of us and He would bring us the message, guard your heart above all else, I'm sure that every one of us, if we would hear that message, it would for sure be something that we would take very seriously, and we would think, okay, for sure, Lord, I will do it. I will take that word, and I will guard my heart. But the thing is that, you know, through the Word of God, through the Bible, God speaks to us. And even though He may not be standing right in front of us at this moment of time and we see Him in person, His Word is nevertheless still as important and still carries the same weight and the same power. So God has come close to us through His Word, and there is something that He asks of us as a believer. That even though we see that so many things may be changing around us, and we may find the challenge of it. Some people may be have already lost a job. Some people may experience that there is a pay cut, or that things are feeling insecure when it comes to their jobs. Will I keep my job? Will I not keep my job? And all of those things may make us feel anxious and make us feel even come to a place where we think that some people even come to a place where they think God may have abandoned them. But it's so important that we heed the words of God. That, as He says in Proverbs 4:20-25, where He speaks about the very thing, that guard your heart above all else. Meaning that no matter what we are experiencing in this lifetime, no matter what we face, that we always need to have that mindset to guard our hearts. And Proverbs 4:20-25 says, "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you." So as verse 23 tells us, and as we look upon that passage is put in the setting of a father speaking to his children. In a sense of a father asking his children to be attentive to his word. Listen and obey. Listen and do what the word asks of them to do, because it will bring life to them and it will prosper them in their ways and in their walk. And as verse 23 says, keep your hearts with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. NIV also says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. And I think this is so interesting because it doesn't say, be mindful of your heart. It does not only say, guard it. But there is a sentence there, or there is a part of the sentence there that says, above all else, you need to guard your heart. You know, Jesus knew that as He was leaving His disciples behind in this world, He knew that they will be challenged in their faith. He knew that there will come oppositions in their life. But His prayer was, God, protect them. They are in the world, but let them not become as the world. And as we live in this world, there is the continuous kind of encouragement from God. And as this verse says, above all else, guard your hearts. Why do we need to guard it? You know, when it comes to the heart, is that, and as we look upon scriptures, the heart is the center of the human person, in which we find the physical and the spiritual life are concentrated. And as well, it speaks about that is the dwelling place of Christ, as Ephesians 3:17. So the heart is the center. It speaks about the center of us, where our hearts can either go against the things of or the will of God or for it. It can either be the spring of life, or it can be the spring that gets polluted by a lot of things. And if that spring gets polluted, it will affect everything else in our lives. And even Jesus goes further by saying in Matthew 6:21, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And if we are true to ourselves, there are many things that we treasure. There are many things that get our attention. And usually, those things that we treasure, we will make the extra effort to get to that place, or to make sure that the things that we desire will be accomplished. You know, as ladies, maybe if we would hear of a sale of our favorite brand, it was a very good sale, we may do everything we could to get there, to be able to buy those things that we desire. And maybe for men, I don't know, it could be so many different things. I mean, those that play golf, you will make the effort to go on a golf trip or to do what you need to do in order to be a part of or take part in that happening. So what we like, we make the effort for. What we treasure, we put us in a high priority about other things. So when Jesus says, "For you, where your treasure is, there your heart is also." And then Proverbs says, "Guard your heart above all else." So we need to be continuously aware of what is the things that I treasure the most in this life. Are they eternal, of eternal value, or are they only of a value, of an earthly value that I won't even be able to take with me after this time? Not that we shouldn't enjoy things in this lifetime, but if everything is around that, and it will affect our walk with God as well. So where our treasure is, there our heart will also be. So our heart can either become the wellspring of life, or it can be infected and polluted. And if it's infected and polluted, it will spread. So if we were to take a moment and think ourselves, what is the treasures that I hold? What are the things that are most important things in my life? Because we need to continuously look at our hearts. If the Bible says guard it above all else, it doesn't say that only because it's something for considerations, something that we could possibly do in our spare time or our free time. But if it's above all else, it means the emphasis on it is so important. And knowing that when we heed the instructions of God, it will give life. Jesus speaks about even that the heart determines our action. Luke 6:45. "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks." So whatever things we keep in our heart, whatever things we dwell on, whatever things kind of owns our attention, takes up our attention, it will automatically become the words that we speak as well. So what we dwell on, what we think about, will also become the confession of our mouth, will also become the way that we speak about other people, about ourselves, about our situations. So the fruit of our lives can come back to the heart. So if the heart is not taken care of, if the heart is not allowed to be allowing the work and the Holy Spirit of God to work with us, work with our character, it can spread and it can lead to even further down spiral of things in our lives in relation to our walk with God. So there are things in the Bible that the Bible encourages us and tells us that can become a heart issue if we are not careful. And I believe this is something that we need to be so aware of, especially when we go through challenging times. Because through challenging times, and many people are going through challenging time at this moment. But through challenging time, we can either choose to become bitter, we can become self-centered, we can even fall into self-pity and disappointment. Or it can have the opposite effect on our lives, where we throw ourselves on the Lord, we throw ourselves on His promises, and we see how He works wonders in our lives. It doesn't mean that all the miracles, everything that He says will happen right away, you know, in that instant. Sometimes it's a moment of a road and path to get there. But we all have that choice when we go through challenges, when we go through obstacles, to either just throw in the towel, even start to blame God, or let it be a time where we even throw ourselves on God more than we have done in the past. Because God loves when we come to Him and we allow Him to be the God that He is. So we cannot allow our trust issues. Maybe we have trust issues. People have let us down. People have said certain things and they've not kept their promises. But those trust issues cannot become issues that we put on God and we say, God, this is, you know, I don't think, I mean, since this has happened, I cannot see that You are with me. And all of those things, we continuously need to go back. Why do I feel the way I do? Lord, is there something that I need to deal with in my life? Is there something that I need to come with before You and allow You to root it up so that I can walk even stronger with You? Proverbs 28 and 14 says, happy is the man who is always reverent, but he who hardens his heart will fall into calamity. So, the one who hardens his heart, it will never become anything good out of it. You know, to lock God out of our lives during the most difficult times or even start to blame Him will never give us any peace. It will never lead us anywhere. But if we choose to trust in Him, we will see the faithfulness of God. And it's during difficult times, challenging times, that the enemy will try to use those opportunities to try to get us away from believing that God is there for us. You know, it's when we are disappointed that we have a choice to believe and fall into self-pity or to believe God. But if you choose to run to Him, we know that He is faithful. So we need to be able to know when things happen in our life to distinguish, you know, what is God and what is not God. Because the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but God comes to give life. So if I start to turn to God and say, God, it's Your fault. Why haven't You done anything? Then I'm dealing with the wrong enemy because God is not the enemy. But the devil is the enemy. Satan is the enemy. And when we fall into a place of self-pity, we fall into a place of blaming everybody else, but not taking even responsibility ourselves. We walk away further and further into hardening our hearts and not allowing the Spirit of God to work from within us. And you know, when it comes to disappointment, all of us go through disappointment in life. I don't think you can live and go through life if you haven't felt disappointment. But the question is, what do we do with that disappointment? How do we deal with it? Because we can allow it to kind of defeat us, that we start to dwell on it, you know, when we happen to come into a place where we sense that things did not go as we planned for. You know, many people at this point of time will start to have the blame game. You know, there are people when they go into financial difficulties, they will say, God, You are not with me. Where have You been? If You don't fix it, I'll walk away from You. And, you know, that's definitely not the keys to the heart of God. You know what is the keys to the heart of God? It's faith. It's faith in Him. It's believing Him. It's not threatening Him. It's not letting Him know that if you don't do anything, I'm out the door. I'm not paying my tithes any longer. I'm not giving into the church. I'm not serving. I'm out. And, you know, most of the time when that is done, it's the start of a walk down a road that will go even further and further away from God. But if there is something that kind of touches the heart of God, then it is faith. It's faith in Him. It's believing Him. That sometimes we come to a place of not understanding why we find ourselves right there, right here. Why did I lose the job? Why did I get a pay cut? Why did this happen? Why did that happen? And we may not understand exactly, but we need to know that we are not alone in it. And if we allow the Lord to walk with us through it, He is the one who will lead us to a victory and out of the valley, out of the valley of the shadow of death, and into His light and into His plans. So when we feel disappointment, and as I believe so many people are experiencing at this time, disappointment if things didn't work out, the investment, people have invested and then suddenly things happen that are out of their control. But in that moment of time, we can choose to believe God, or we can choose to fall into a place of just even blaming Him or self-pity, blaming Him, blaming everybody else. When we are challenged, that's the moment of time where we have a choice to either blame, we can blame ourselves. I mean, of course, if there are things that we need to repent, that we need to do right before God and before man, then we do that. But we can start to even take not even our own responsibility of things. But we need the Word of God. You know, when Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue, he had come to Jesus. And he had asked him to heal his daughter. But when Jesus was delayed, his daughter died. And when the news were brought to him, he was told, "It's too late. Your daughter is dead." And in that moment of time, the word of God came to him. And Jesus said to him, "Do not be afraid. Only believe, and she will be made well." The moment the difficulty, the disappointment, all of it wanted to rush in. Disappointment, self-pity probably, all of it. And who would blame him? His daughter just passed away. In that moment of time, Jairus, he had a choice when Jesus spoke and said, "Do not be afraid, only believe, and she will be made well." He could have chosen to say, "You know what, Jesus, it's too late. It's not going to work out. She's dead. I mean, what can you do?" And he could have locked the door, and Jesus may not have had the opportunity to pray for his daughter. But because he took the word of God, and because he received the word of God, his daughter was raised from the dead and became a miracle, and it became a testimony of the goodness of God. So the same way Jairus had that choice when disappointment was to come, when self-pity wants to knock on the door, when we want to blame everything and everyone. You know, in that moment of time, we can either heed the word of God or we can heed the word of the enemy. We can choose to listen to what the Lord is saying to us. You know, sometimes I've also realized that many times when in the exact moment when I have received maybe very unpleasant news, and I sense that everything within me wants to be afraid. Everything within me wants to be worried. But you just sense the prompting of the Holy Spirit that is saying, everything is going to be okay. And it is that in that moment of time, he's not shouting. He's not screaming from the rooftop. Everything else may be screaming so much louder than that prompting of the Holy Spirit. But you just know, or a Bible passage comes up within you. And you just sense things are going to be okay. You still feel your flesh that is like twisting and turning and thinking, yeah, but look at it. Listen to what is being said to you. But you still have that choice to say, you know what? I sense the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God is telling me everything is going to be okay. And you know, every time you feel like that and you felt like that, or I have felt like that, it turns out everything is going to be okay. So we have to learn to listen. We have to learn to take that disappointment or take that fear or things that may come up and guard our heart. Guard our hearts away from the spirits of the enemy, away from the attacks of the enemy. And listen to what the Lord is saying and know that He has come to give life and a life of abundance. So we need to also allow the Word to mold us, to challenge us. If our hearts is not right, if we are keeping unforgiveness, if we are keeping even self-righteousness, you know, sometimes when the Lord may deal with our heart, He may deal with unforgiveness. And in that process, He may even reveal things to us that we could have done better, things that we need to repent from. And we continuously need to have a soft heart before the Lord, because it's not about being right. It's not about not losing face. It's about having the true humility before the Lord, that when He confronts us through His Spirit, when He confronts us through His Word, that we allow Him. That we allow bitterness, we allow unforgiveness, we allow self-righteousness to be lifted, and we become more and more molded into the image of Christ. So there is that continuous process, and we're going to have that continuous process until we go to heaven, where He's going to mold us, He's going to challenge us, He's working on us. And it doesn't mean that He works on everything at the same time, but there are things that He will deal with so that we can work stronger and stronger for Him in the different areas that He has called us to. So we can lay aside things that are burdening us and things that are making our hearts heavy. You know, even in a church, people get hurt because the church is not perfect. However, even if we find ourselves that we have at some point been hurt through a church, it's not a reason to run away. It's not an excuse to leave. It's rather an opportunity for the Lord to come in and restore if our hearts are soft before Him. So we cannot let disappointment and self-pity come in. You know, I'm just reminded of this story of a lady that came into church, and she spoke to the pastor after the meeting, and she was saying, you know, this is such a wonderful church. Everything is so well done here, and everything is so good. You know, I've been to so many churches, and you know, I'm just not happy with the way things are done. And then this pastor said to this lady, and he said, you know what? This church was perfect until you came. So what is the point with that? The thing is that all of us, none of us are perfect. The moment I walk into the church as a pastor, the church starts to be imperfect. The moment you and me as individuals walk into a church, we are people that are not perfect. And it makes the church to not be perfect in all of its ways. But the thing is that at the end of the day, it's not about being perfect people that build a perfect church. It's about being people that are willing to work together. And that as we work together, you know, we will meet a lot of different people. But it's an opportunity to be molded. It's an opportunity that we get changed and transformed and be built further and further and stronger in His will. So we need to be aware of self-pity. We need to guard our hearts against self-pity, because self-pity is a sin before God. And self-pity even often leads to self-righteousness. We feel so sorry for ourselves, and instead of running to God, we run away from Him. And we start blaming Him. You know, Martha, we know the story of Martha and Mary in Luke 10:40, where Martha was so focused on serving and not listening to the words of Jesus. And her response to Jesus speaks to someone that kind of has that self-righteousness or self-pity. You know, in verse 40, but Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. You know, she was so focused on that what she was doing was good. She was so focused on serving but not sitting at the feet of Jesus. And in the midst of that, you know, she kind of wanted Jesus to see her effort. She kind of wanted Jesus to acknowledge that what she was doing was better than what Martha was doing. And I think that's something that we need to be careful of, to not fall into self-pity, to not fall into self-righteousness. Because it's the enemy's weapon to keep us away. It makes us look at the situation and to make the situation bigger in front of us, instead of looking at the solution that is Christ. And it even gives us a reason to stay in the states that we are in, contrary to godly behavior. You know, one time when I was, when I was younger, I was in a meeting and I was surrounded by some of my friends. And in that meeting, there was a prophet that was going between people, and he was praying for people and giving them prophecies about their future and the callings and so on, and words from God. And I was sitting beside one of my friends that I knew was living in sin. But during that meeting, my friend got a word, a beautiful word from God about her future, and I didn't get any. And my self-righteousness became so high. And I thought, you know, I've even prayed before the meeting. I've done this. I've done that. God, why does he get a word and I don't get a word? But I just knew in that minute the confrontation of the Holy Spirit, that it's not about my own self-righteousness. It's not about trying to be something in my own strength. Not that God affirms the way that this person was living. It's not that. But the realization that time and time again, it's not the goodness of God, the love of God. It's not about who we try to be in our own strength, in our own power, that we deserve it so much. We can never deserve the love of God. We can never deserve the grace of God, but it's given to us. And sometimes the Lord will need to confront that self-righteousness in our lives, or even that self-pity. Because it will keep us away from even walking further in a stronger relationship with God. And when we allow the Lord to work within, when we allow the Lord to help us to guard our own hearts, we become more and more transformed into the image of Christ. And it will build an even stronger relationship with the Lord. And another thing I want to mention is that we need to guard our hearts against spiritual dullness. We need to guard our hearts against becoming, you know, a little bit half-hearted in our walk with God. We need to guard it. We need to guard our life with the Lord. You know, the Lord has put so many things into our lives. There are callings that God has for you. There are things that he has called you to accomplish that he has called no one else to accomplish. There are giftings that is in your life, and he has given you a personality, a character. And we need to guard the vision and the dreams that the Lord has put into our hearts. You know, it's easy to have the vision and the dreams right in front of us when they are fresh, when they are new, when God has confirmed his things. And it's easy to walk with the Lord when we had the greatest encounter during a conference or a church camp or the last service. But it's the everyday walk that we need to walk out with the Lord, and we need to guard it because as we guard it, it guards our heart in him. And we can never make anybody else responsible for our own life with God. We cannot say it's somebody else's fault if we are not walking strong with the Lord. Because we have to look at our own prayer life. We have to look at our own studying of the Word of God. And Revelations 2 and 4 speaks about, as as God is speaking to one of the churches, nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. You know, we all, many of us, know how it is to be in love for the first time. And, you know, in the beginning of a relationship, how, you know, everything can be going so well because we don't know, we don't see, we haven't kind of come into a place of where we have started to argue or disagree and so on. It's kind of like flowing on a pink cloud in a sense. But then maybe we come to a place where we start to see more of one another's weaknesses as well as strength, which also strengthens the relationship. But there is something the Lord is wants from us, you know, and the same thing when we become new believers is that once we become new believers, there is that time in the beginning that we are so hungry for the Lord. We want more of Him. We desire more of Him. We're experiencing Him. It's exciting. And then maybe after a time, we start to fall a little bit away from that. We start to compromise. We start to take it easy, you know. Okay, it's okay to sleep in one Sunday. It's okay to not attend cell group or, I mean, who knows? I mean, who cares if I have a prayer life on my own or whatever? You know, some things, habits that we used to have, we may start to feel the compromise in it. We will also lay down our guards when it keeps to guarding our heart. And as Hebrews 12 and 3 says, "For consider him who endures such a hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your soul." So we continuously have to guard that relationship we have with the Lord. We have to take responsibility for it. We have to pursue it and pursue Him. And there is that encouragement to not allow ourselves to become very weary and discouraged in our souls. You know, when somebody is weary, when somebody is discouraged, it will affect the way that we live life. It will affect our spiritual habits. And we can just look at Jesus that did not give up no matter how much he had to endure. So we need to continuously keep our eyes on him. We need to continuously keep our eyes on his promises. And just because you become tired at times or things do not work the way you expected, we still need to be aware of who we are in Christ and where our strength and motivation comes from. And we also need to be people that do not just give up at the first obstacle. But as we move forward, even though we face obstacles, we need to know that our strength comes from God. Because if we allow ourselves to be weary, if we allow ourselves to be disappointed, you know, oftentimes it will lead to us maybe doing something that we know are not in line with what God has intended for our lives. You know, Esau gave up his birthright for a stew. Why? Because he was tired. He was weary. He gave up something that was so much more value than food. But because he was tired in that moment of time, being short-sighted, he thought it was worth it. And as believers, we can never be short-sighted. That just because we go through something now doesn't mean that we will go through that very thing for the rest of our life. But everyone who hopes in the Lord, everyone who puts their trust in the Lord will not be disappointed. And, you know, we cannot look for excuses that tell us it's okay we lost our passion. That, you know, the moment we face a bump or we face an obstacle, that we try to find excuses to turn another direction. Because if the Lord has given us a direction, we need to keep on being faithful to that direction, except He says something else. But it's the faithfulness in knowing what the Lord has said and carrying it out that we see also the fruit of His kingdom and His power. So the bumps or the obstacles are not to change direction. It may slow us down at times, but it doesn't have to change the course. And you know what? Once we have overcome that obstacle, you know, if we're driving a car and there's an obstacle in the way or a bump that we need to overcome, yes, it slows down the speed for a little bit. But as soon as we're over it, we can take up the speed again. And the same thing with our walk with the Lord. When maybe sometimes we feel like we're being slowed down. Maybe sometimes we feel like we hardly can take another step. But we just need to keep on going, knowing that the one who goes before us is greater than the one who is against us. You know, when I was 18 years old, I went to Bible school. And it was a 2 years Bible school. And just before I was supposed to leave, a little bit before I was supposed to leave and move to Sweden, something happened. And the thing is that as I was working my way, you know, as I was doing high school, I was working in a small kind of a shop that was renting out, you know, all kind. It was renting out videotapes, which we don't use today, and selling all kinds of small things, which would be candies and small things for you, like milks and so on. And it was just kind of like a small neighborhood store. And as I was working there, I was making sure to get some money before I would go for Bible school, as well as working before as I was finishing high school. And when it was about one of my last shifts, if it was my last shift or one of the last ones, it was late in the evening, maybe around 11 p.m. in the evening, and we were getting closer to closing the store. And then suddenly this man walks in, and he's all dressed in black, and he has this black hoodie on him. And he walks up, and he comes behind the desk, and up to the cashier. And at first I thought maybe this is just a friend of the owner. But then as he comes closer, he kind of starts threatening this knife. And he starts to press the knife up against my stomach. And I, in my mind, everything was going very slowly. And I just thought this must be a joke or something. And then he said, you know, open up the cashier. And I thought, at the first I just said, no, I'm not going to open it up. And then he started threatening even more, so I opened up the cashier. And then as he started to take out the money, you know, I wasn't thinking very clearly. I thought I'll try to close it again, which made him even angrier, so he started to threaten even more with a knife. So I kind of stepped back, let him take the money, and then he left. And thankfully, because of some neighbors that saw the car and so on, they were able to catch him and the driver as well. But, you know, at the end of it, all kinds of thoughts can start to come. Because I was an 18-year-old going for a Bible school, and it was enough just to have faith, to have the money needed. And then in that instance, you know, all kinds of thoughts can start to come. If God couldn't protect you from that, how is He going to protect you when you move, when you go to another nation and take care of you? And, you know, all kinds of thoughts can start to come. And in that moment of time, you know, looking at it, you start to wonder, why did it happen? Even when I look today, I'm confident that things could have been so much worse if God had not had His protection as well. But the thing is that oftentimes, even before we step into something new for the Lord, we may sense that things are not working our way, or something happens, and we may even feel like fear, disappointment, and all of those things can try to come in. But, you know, if I had not taken the step that I took at that time, if I had allowed fear to come in and rule the decisions I had made, I would not have met my husband in Bible school. I may not have decided to go further with my theological studies and so on. There are so many things that fell into place as we take one step of obedience with the Lord. That even though things, even prior to that, we have a choice. Do I guard my heart? Or do I allow everything to tell me, everything else except the Word of God to tell me how I'm supposed to feel at that moment of time? And what is the logical decisions to make? But you know what? When we step in obedience to the Lord. Sometimes we experience resistance. Sometimes we may even experience, you know, that challenge that we did not expect to come into the way. But we need to be so aware that if the Lord has said something, we cannot quit at the first bump. We cannot quit at the first obstacle. We cannot stop even though things may not look right now as things are even going to be okay. But you know, with the Lord with us, things will be okay. Maybe not the okay we thought. Maybe not, the solution may not necessarily come in the form that we planned for. But in the moment of difficulties and challenge, we have a choice. In the moment of obstacles and bumps in the road, we have a choice. Do I give it to the Lord? Do I throw myself on the Lord and believe for His solution, believe for His peace, believe for His help? Or am I going to allow that obstacle to change my course, to even change my direction away from God? Maybe, you know, you have been a person or someone has been a person that has continuously given of tithes, given into the house of God, given into things that the Lord puts on their heart. But then when they come into a place of being challenged in that area, oftentimes people start to cough off that source. But the thing is that, you know, if the Lord has said something, He will stand to His part. But we also need to stand to our part. We should never cut off the source in any area of our life that leads to God. There are many other sources that we may need to cut out in order to accomplish what the Lord has called us. But never should we make a choice to cut out God, because it can never lead to anything good. And at the end of the day, it can even lead to us making a turn that is not in line with His will, and making a turn away from what He has spoken to us. But when we overcome, and when we choose Him, we choose His word, we choose His way, we even come out stronger. You know, when I look back at that incident, I know it was not a coincidence. I know it was a spiritual attack. Not that I'm trying to, we should always read into everything or anything like that. But the more we know what is the enemy and what is God, the more we can discern and throw ourselves on God that is good, and not receive the attacks of the enemy as a blessing from the Lord. We need to know what the Lord is doing in our life and what is the work of the devil, so that our trust is in Him. Our trust is that whatever God has said, He will accomplish. We need to guard our heart and not allow it to be polluted. The more we know what is God, the more we can get rid of the pollution. Galatians 6 and 9 says, "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." You know, let's not lose sight of the bigger picture. Let's not become short-sighted so that all we see are the problems right in front of us. But let's allow the Lord to show us His picture. If we would see God's picture, we would not worry. If we would see God's provision, we would not worry. If we would see the things that God has in store for us, I think all of us would shout and be joyful, because He has so many good things for us. But we need to protect our hearts from being half-hearted in our walk with Him. We need to protect our hearts from being disappointed. And we need to protect our God from not blaming Him for things that He hasn't even done. You know, the safest place is in the will of God. Even though it's not always the easiest place, it's the safest place. And God will form us, God will mold us, and He will make our character stronger. So when the road becomes bumpy, don't just change direction. Don't give up. But overcome the bump. Overcome the obstacle. And you know, the more faithful we are in what God has given us, the more He will also be able to put into our hands, because we are shown ourselves to be faithful. And we need to keep our hearts pure, walk forward the path that He set before us. He will guide you. He will lead you, just as He promised. The world is changing, but God will not change. As the world is changing, God will form His people to be stronger and stronger in Him. People that will march forward in His power and strength. And even though sometimes they feel beaten down or tired, they will stand back up again and see how the Lord works wonders on their behalf and draw strength from Him and draw closer to Him. So let's guard our hearts. Let's keep our hearts right before Him. Let's seek wisdom from Him, help from Him, because He will not hold back on supporting His children. Amen. Let's pray. Thank You, Father God. Father, we worship You and we thank You. Lord, I just want to pray for each and every one that is listening. Lord, I thank You that in You we have strength. In You we have the power and ability to overcome every obstacle in our ways. And Lord, I want to pray for those right now that may feel beaten down, that may feel like things are tough right now. Even, Lord, if there are some that may have lost their jobs, some that feel their jobs, they don't know if they will have jobs after all of this, Lord. And some that worry about their families, Lord, whatever situation it is, God, I just pray and stand together with them right now, Lord, that You come into the midst of it with Your power, with Your miracle, and with Your help, Lord. And Father God, we also just pray, Lord Jesus, I pray for each and every one, Father. If there is someone, Father God, that experiences in their hearts that there is a need to lay at the cross of Jesus, self-pity, or even self-righteousness, Lord, or the sense of being disappointed in You, Lord, then, Lord, I just pray for them right now. I pray that You fill their lives with the love of Christ, that You show them how loved they are by You. And Father, I just pray that, Lord Jesus, that in the midst of what they are facing, they will know and see that You are faithful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you and thank you for joining us.